Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And boy, do we have a lot of commentary on today's economic events anyway. Today is Monday, February 5th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Monday, Melody.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's happy for us, but not too many people out there who are owning paper investments. A shocking day in the markets today, and a lot of damage control being done on all the mainstream media programs. And it really is interesting because I followed this pretty much all through the weekend and into today. And it was after Friday's close of the 665 points to the downside, mostly through the weekend, the Dow futures were down over 700 points. So, you know, you're looking at a $1,300, $1,400 drop for Friday. And it carried through. They turned it around this morning, early morning trading. I saw they were down like 100 points. Then they brought it back. And I think the S&P and even the NASDAQ were in positive territory somewhat today. And, you know, the Dow was down 100 points, 200 points. But, you know, it was kind of like they had it under control. There wasn't really anything unusual happening in the trading. It was sort of a very kind of like a quiet day of trading. But then, Dave, after 3 o'clock, I mean, the numbers just melted to the downside. I mean, I don't remember the last time I saw numbers drop that quick. Of course, was after the 2008 Great Recession, you know, when the markets took a beating. And some of the stats are very close to those numbers. I want to go and see what we have for some final numbers here, Dave, on the Dow, and I'll give you the closing prices, and then we'll go to the gold prices. The Dow down 1,175 points, 4.60%. The dip today was actually down 6%. And they were able to bring it back. And, you know, there's some final numbers going through and so forth. But as we're seeing it, there might be some updated to these numbers. But the Dow plunged more than 1,100 points, 1,175 at 24,345. The S&P was also down over 4%, down 113 points at 2,649. Do you know that the S&P has lost $1 trillion in the month of February alone? $1 trillion. And CNBC and all their little financial analysts are saying this was a flash crash. The NASDAQ was down 273 points, almost 4%, 3.75% at 6,967. The VIX, heck, remember we was it 4 months ago, 5 months ago, we were talking about the VIX being, you know, record lows, eight point something. That popped. We're now looking at 33.43. Just amazing turnaround, just a wild, wild trading session. And the difficult part is finding, other than what we talk about on this program, there doesn't seem to be a one report event, although we got a lot going on this week. We're going to talk about debt. We're going to talk about Congress is voting tomorrow on a bill. We've got the immigration going on all this week, possible government shutdown come Friday. We're also going to talk a little bit later on about Jerome Powell having his first day in his position, replacing Janet Yellen. Maybe the markets just didn't like Janet Yellen leaving because this is really, Friday was her last day. This is what we started to see things begin to unwind. So everybody's talking about these are just minor corrections. A lot of people just saying, hey, buy on the dips, don't worry about it. You know, the market's gone up to these amazing levels. Don't worry about it. You know, buy in. Now's the time to buy in. What do you think they're going to tell you? Or do you think they're going to tell you anything different? And it's just some amazing numbers. And when I saw the Dow down 6%, I mean, it was like 700, 800, 900, and this is in a matter of minutes. 900, 1,000, and Dave, I mean, it just kept going, and I thought, that isn't going to stop. You know, I didn't think it was going to stop. I wasn't sure they, but it started at 3, so they held it off till 3. They let it go at 3, and they were able to bring it back somewhat. And so, I mean, yeah, it should frighten people. It should scare the heck out of you. Now, it's going to be whether you believe this is just a flash crash, it's all computer trading, and there really is no fear or panic in the markets in order for it to drop more, or are the true fundamentals telling us that there isn't anything there to keep these markets to the level they are on? And it's been all stimulus from central banks from here and around the world. They stoked these markets with the multinational corporations along with the game, and it was all based, how do you continue to supply the fundamental of hope? I didn't know hope was the fundamental. I didn't know exuberance. I didn't know excitement. I didn't know promises were fundamentals. So how do you keep feeding them to keep these markets to go higher and higher and higher? How can you feed markets when we have a debt where the government is going to borrow $1 trillion this year? $1 trillion. People just lost $1 trillion on the S&P. So again, is this a flash crash these past couple of days? Or is this the start of the slide of these paper markets? And I know there's a lot of people out there that are saying, well, you know what? They took it down to 6,000 and they brought it back. And, you know, we're all expecting some sort of a pullback. They've been warning us and warning us and warning us. And so a lot of people aren't going to sell. And that's what's scary, is when you have $1 trillion lost in the S&P just in 5 days, do you take that risk? Rob West is, Dave, you haven't met Rob West. He's a retired financial advisor. And he texted me today and he said the slide down is just the beginning. He says the next leg up is gold and silver. And he's going to try and join us later on in the program. He was on a conference call and so forth, so I'm not quite sure when he'll be joining us, but he's going to try. And so we're going to be talking further about these markets. Now I will get to the gold and silver. Gold today, we're up 590 at 1338. Silver was up 14 cents today at $16.81. Platinum unchanged, 995. Palladium was down $17 at 1032. Let's see what the dollar, of course, was stronger. 0.30, that's all they could get out of the dollar on a day like today. 0.30 at 89.46. Crude oil was down 1.61 at 63.84. Let me see if I can get some of my other numbers here. I didn't see, I don't know if you did, where, Dave, if you saw where the 10-year closed today. I might be able to get there here in a few minutes, seconds.
It was just below 2.8. That's the last I saw.
You're correct.
2.724.
Okay, yes. I've seen a range from your 2.74 to 2.79 delays and so forth. So it did break down below that 2.80. The euro was down a little pressure on that at 124. Japan, it was down 2.5%. European markets were all down. I even also heard Jim Cramer say, oh, it was because of Greece. Are you kidding me? They're having some demonstrations and items over there, but it didn't even have it to do much about their, I don't know, about a name. I don't know. And they're trying to blame Greece. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. Bitcoin, that was at like 6,800 or 6,900. They did bring that back to 7,000. But it was still down negative 16%. And I spoke to a client on Friday who was pro cryptocurrencies, pro Bitcoin, and they think it's going to drop to 65, and he was right about that, and into the between 65 and 68. But as far as I know, he was going to be going in there buying up all he could at that level. And it's like they still haven't learned anything yet. And so that was pretty much on the markets. It's interesting. Everyone was shocked, Dave. I was watching the CNBC, and they were just all shocked. They were all trying to get their numbers, all trying to get their thoughts together, all trying to just say it's blaming, because really it just happened so quickly. And but yet, the futures over the weekend down 700. Eventually they were going to be picked up, and so it's just an incredible day. And we often talk about the Apple dropped 10% today, and let's see if there was anything else that
the
was
energy sector. Yeah, the energy sector took a big dive today. There were a couple of missed earnings and profits reports. Chesapeake Energy, I believe, announced it was laying off a number of employees. That certainly doesn't account for the depth of this fall, though. I think you hit the nail on the head. Be interesting what the statistics bear out, that with the recent surge in interest rates, coupled with the impending, what shall we say, climb in debt, further climb in debt. You got to believe that, those are catching up to the market in general. And then on top of that are these day-to-day nuances like the energy sector adjustment today that are just exacerbating that performance.
Well, they also tried to blame it on Wells Fargo. I guess Wells Fargo got hit with some more, fines and so forth that took away from their earnings. They had to readjust their earnings and so forth. And it's like, one bank, and they were saying, oh, well, a bank could do that. I don't think so. And I'm not sure why the energy sector was, why was that hit so hard, or was it just a carry through from... Yeah, as I said, there's not one particular, other than the dollar really breaking through, and it hasn't been able to reclaim above 90 yet. It's still below 90. Our debt, and we have another government shutdown. You do have that memo that was released last week, and it doesn't matter which side you're on that memo thing, it does impact the confidence of this country. It just goes to show that what's in D.C., is it erodes on that issue, on that confidence globally. So is that a part of it, or is it just all of these things that are finally coming together that is saying, we've been playing this game way too long, we pushed this market way too high, way too far, and it's the bubble that has been breaking. We look at the bonds. That was a bubble, And to me, I think that was a major, major issue. And we talked about it before on this program, 2.60%. Once it closed above 2.60%, you would see the markets begin to unwind. And that's exactly what they've done. One closing above 2.60 is not going to be any big deal. But you get that trend where it's closing day after day after day. It's going to have impacts. That's exactly what we're seeing. And so now, what do we see? Do they bring those rates back down to calm the markets? Can they calm the markets at this level? So there's a lot of questions, and I think sometimes we just have to see how it plays out. But go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just going to say, to address the issue, Jerome Powell, the new Fed chair, has indicated that he's going to follow Yellen's lead. Among other things, one's got to assume that means continuing the unwinding of treasuries to the tune of $50 billion a year. I certainly don't see that changing in the near future or long, unless we see a significant increase in pressure on inflation. But as we've been saying, the Fed's going to dump $600 billion of treasuries in the market this year. At the same time, and we talk about this a little later in the show, the federal government's going to be issuing an estimated between $955 and $999 billion, $1 trillion additional into the market later this year. This coming at a time when some of our major foreign purchasers of debt, China to name one, have indicated that they're planning to cool off and tone down their future purchases of the treasuries. That's only going to put additional pressure on interest rates, and this could spiral quickly into another level, having further impact on the stock market, which in turn is going to drive lots of investors to the safe haven of gold and silver. So that's where I'm coming from right now.
Well, the Jerome Powell says that he wants to continue with Yellen, but what they say and do, or I don't know. I mean, again, confidence. It's possible the markets just don't believe him, or
that's true.
What can they?
And it's interesting. I mean, he's one of seven on the Federal Open Market Committee, which is the policymaking arm of the Fed. I believe there are now four vacancies that Trump will attempt to fill over the coming weeks and months. We know one of them is Marvin Goodfriend is before the Congress now.
And we're heading into a break, and ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back right after a few short words or commercials.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And heading into the break, again, we have huge numbers on the Dow, and, you know, we're talking about the volatility, the VIX index, and, I mean, from being under 9 to being, I thought I heard up over 40. It didn't close there. I think it came back down with everything else, so they took back some of its losses. The markets can't support that type of volatility, I don't believe. And, you know, I believe it's the fundamentals. I believe it's debt. I believe it's the condition of this country. I believe it's the condition of our monetary policy that is catching up. The federal government is back on track. There was an announcement from the Treasury Department. We mentioned it in the first break, about $1 trillion they're going to borrow for this fiscal year. Trump's first year in charge of the budget is almost double what the government borrowed in fiscal year 2017. The exact numbers, the U.S. Treasury expects to borrow $955 billion this fiscal year, and it's the highest amount of borrowing in 6 years, and a big jump from the $519 billion the federal government borrowed last year. And the Treasury mainly attributed this increase to the fiscal outlook. The Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, was a little bit more blunt. In a report this week, it said tax receipts are going to be lower because of the new tax law.
Yeah, Melody, this surge in borrowing is yet another complication in the heated debates in Congress. They're talking about whether to spend more money on infrastructure, the military, disaster relief, and certainly a slew of other domestic programs. The deficit's already up significantly this year, even before Congress appropriates more money to any of these areas. Mark Goldwyn, who works for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget in Washington, blames both parties for the situation. He says, "We're addicted to debt." And what's particularly upsetting is that this is the first time borrowing has jumped this much, particularly as a share of GDP in a non-recession since Ronald Reagan was president. Under Reagan, borrowing spiked because of a buildup in the military, something that Trump is advocating once again. He didn't mention the debt or the ongoing budget deficits in his State of the Union address last week. The absence of any mention of the national debt was frustrating for a number of economists who warned that America has a major economic problem looming. Martin Feldstein, who's a former Reagan advisor, told Bloomberg News, it's terrible. Those deficits and the debt that keep rising is a serious problem, not only in the long run, but right now. Melody, the White House got a taste of just how problematic this debt situation could get this week. It's not off to a good start, as you've been painting the vivid picture. Investors are certainly concerned about all the additional borrowing and the likelihood of higher inflation, which is why interest rates on U.S. government bonds have hit the highest level since 2014. We note that the bellwether 10-year Treasury was actually over 2.9% late last week. It's settled back down today a little bit under that 2.8 mark. So that in turn partly drove the worst weekly sell-off in the stock market in 2 years, stemming back to late last week and certainly continuing through today. Melody?
You know, the U.S. government, you know, could just keep issuing debt because there's a lot of people around the world who are eager to buy. to buy up our debt, but yet we see countries who are beginning to kind of pull away. The biggest buyers, you have China and some of the other countries are beginning to pull back. So I don't think it is that safe haven asset anymore from so many of these world governments. Of course, you have the investing world and so forth, and people still think that maybe that the U.S. Debt was always the safest. It was almost sort of got guaranteed, but there are no guarantees in this world, but yet they make you believe there is. Mm. And there's just a limit on how much the market wants, especially if inflation starts rising and interest rates keep going up. Investors prefer to ditch bonds and stocks for gold and silver and other precious metals. It is time to pay the piper. And so we are going to see that. And just because you didn't see, $100 rise in gold and $20 rise in silver doesn't mean we're not going to happen. Sometimes you just don't get these quick knee-jerk reactions. It has to filter through. But this is the beginning, and you can believe mainstream media if you want. You can believe these financial planners on mainstream, like the Jim Cramers of the world. But they're there to protect what they have invested in there, and they're protecting their reputations. And Dave, we do have Rob West on the line. I'd like to welcome Rob West to the program and introduce Rob West to Dave Allen, my new co-host.
Hello, Rob.
Hi, Dave. Nice to meet you. Hello, Melody. Nice to talk with you.
Same here, Rob. I was. I'm glad I got your text right before the show. We were texting last week, and of course, you made a comment that this is basically the beginning of the slide down. What's your take?
Yeah, I don't see the parachute opening yet. So, the side of the news that I've been paying a lot more attention to, and I think perhaps maybe you as well. All of the news, all the stocks, all the markets. I mean, I was a VP with Prudential Bates Securities back in '87, and this is the same but a lot different than what I experienced back then with that particular crash. But these releases that are coming out with these memos that's pointing to various levels of people, very high levels, that is not covered in the mainstream news, and perhaps some of your listeners wouldn't know what I'm talking about, but this is what's exposing what we're going to experience, because all of the controls through the banking and the stock market and many other things, as well as gold and silver, being priced in the paper market, is under the control, and some of these guys that are giving the control signals are not going to be in the same place because of what's been happening, starting with Trump's executive order on December 22nd. So when more people begin to realize, which I think is happening globally now, because this is really a global effort, that this executive order and all the arrests that's forthcoming filter into, a lot of these people have made a lot of money because of maybe tips, insider trading, who knows what. And so a lot of the market run up, not only is it, really beating the price earnings ratios beyond recognition, but a lot of the things I think are coming from untrustworthy sources, and the more people that find that out are going to get out in a hurry. And you can see that now.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, they were trying to blame it on the flash crashes today, and I thought that was the most ridiculous thing. This was not a flash crash.
Sounds like a fancy word that self-interested pundits want to throw out there to keep people interested and invested in that paper market.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, I'm now in my 46th year of this, and at the level I'm at now, I thought I was semi-retired, but I don't think that term's working anymore. But like Melody has been saying for so long, all these things in paper, including currency, and now, for guys' sake, cryptocurrency. All this is going through an adjustment period, and you know, it's unfortunate so many people are locked into their retirement accounts because of their 401k options and all this kind of thing. But now this is the beginning, I believe. I don't know, Melody, how much you may have talked on your show, and you may have been following about these coming arrests and criminal indictments and the Guantanamo Bay action that's going to be occurring with the military tribunals and all that kind of thing. But this is so far-reaching that, frankly, most people have no idea about this, and it would be hard for them to believe if I told them all the connecting of the dots that I've been doing. And this does not surprise me at all with the stock market, but at the end of the day, I think you're going to see gold and silver as not only insurance, but it'll be the main thing on the menu. Is if you know, the currency itself that we're using is really not constitutional currency, and I don't know how far the Trump administration can get down the road to bring that back around, but the control mechanisms in place has always been the bankers. And like Rothschild said in, you know, the 1700s, allow me to control the currency and develop and control the currency of a country, and I care not who makes the laws. And it's so true. And I believe to get out of this mess, I mean, the reset's been moving forward since 2008, and even prior to that, it's been planned on, I believe. And the cryptos are going to come around, the Bitcoin holders and all that. You know, it's not even anything to hold in your hand that's behind a Bitcoin or any of the cryptos. But I believe if it will stay in that arena, getting people used to using their computers for their currency transactions, they'll back a cryptocurrency with gold and silver, and you'll see 10,000 plus in value. And the insurance is cheap now. You know, the insurance is cheap now.
You know what, I agree with you, but I, you know what I believe is I think what we're experiencing, it's just not this administration, it's all the administrations for a very long time. And the world revolves around confidence. And because every government, every has a fiat currency, and it all revolves around money. It all, and that is the root. It truly is the root. It's the beginning of everything. And everything moves, everything revolves. It's like the planets revolve around the sun. You know, the world revolves around money. And you can't have a fiat currency to the degree that we've had. You have the confidence, you see the corruption, you see the debt in world governments, and there is a day of reckoning that comes about. We've seen little bleeps, we've seen little bumps, we've seen adjustments along the way. They've taken us to lows, they bring us to highs, they make it a very emotional, they make us trust them because, you know, they take us to the lows and they bring us to the highs. And once you begin to take apart that confidence, and people say, well, yeah, confidence can't be keeping this whole world going, but in reality, it kind of is, because that's what a fiat currency is. So once you have, and our country was always, and again, you can have, once there's no more faith in or confidence in this country, and there's corruption in all governments, ours included, once that confidence begins to, you know, come apart, I think you see the seams come apart, what holds it all together. And and I think with everything that's been going on, and you can even say, you know, some of the things haven't been that major, but they don't have to be. And so it's, you know, personally, I mean, I've been wrong before. I do think this is the, like you said, the unwinding. They can bring it back. They can stem it a little bit, I guess.
Well, if you recall, Melody, a lot of the research that I was doing for that my book on the currency and the fraud with LIBOR and so forth. That's a piece of the puzzle. The other things back when Reagan was president was the entrance of the plunge protection team. And I really haven't got a good feel on Trump and his administration and if that will continue to go on. If it continue, if the plunge protection team is active now, it's having a fight right now to maintain the elevation of the markets, stock markets in particular. But see, back when I was going through the crash of 87 and even back in 08 in the early part of 2000, I mean, we still had an interest rate, you know, and we basically have a zero interest rate policy, so the bond market's a lot bigger than the stock market. And there hasn't been any place to go for a normal savings person. And so a lot of the money got channeled into the stock market, our stock market in particular. And I don't know if we have some bouncing up and down a little bit this week. I would suspect the plunge protection team is making some efforts. Maybe it's not even, people don't know what that is under the Reagan administration. His financial guys put together large blocks of money to elevate and maintain a certain level of normalcy in different markets, including the stock market and also in commodities. And so it was just substitution money going in. The Teachers Retirement System in California, CalPERS, was one of the players with the plunge protection team. So they're looking for large pools of money that could voluntarily go in and buy or sell in order to maintain a market, which is rigging the markets, you know. But I'm not so sure how effective, and if the confidence falls, like you were saying, Melody, how quickly it might fall out. And that's why I think these memos and the subsequent actions after these memos is going to show so many people of some authority that may have had influence in continuing good business activity and promotion of stocks. But you used to be able to look at a stock and get some estimate of value and why you'd want to own it. And the company would take the money and the increased stock values and actually grow their company and do different things. You know, that's been off the table for a while. Companies can borrow money for almost no interest and buy back their stock.
Yep.
Executives get a raise because of it. And there's just so many things that aren't normal anymore. And so, you know, that could just be a spook to a lot of people. And keep in mind, more than 90% of the market you see is computer controlled anyway.
Yep.
So,
hey, Rob, we're coming into a break. I didn't know if you want to hold on or we can talk to you to another day. It's up to you.
Well, I have a few more things, and so I appreciate connecting up, and we'll schedule something else later on, and we'll just see what goes on. So I'll send you some text info.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, that's something interesting. All right, Melody. Dave, nice to meet you.
All right, appreciate it.
Rob, nice to hear from you. Thank you.
Folks, we're heading into a break, and we'll be returning in just a few short minutes. Thank you.
Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Top of the second segment.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Dave. And it's Monday, February 5th, and 2018. And, you know, really depends on where your investments are. I mean, for those of us who own gold, it's an exciting day because we know it's not so much, you know, it's not so much that we don't have, you know, for those who are holding paper, people have, you know, their retirement accounts and so forth. We don't have, it's not like we don't have concerns and, you know, and so forth for what can happen to their funds. But we know it's days like this and moments like this is why we buy gold and silver. It's for these days of what we face today. And this is when gold and silver performs. And people will say, even though it performs every day for you, most people can't get grasp that idea, but it does perform for you every day against inflation. So it's a tremendous time. I think we'll be much higher tomorrow morning in gold and silver. I can't, unless, you know, if the dollar went up two full points, you know, well, if it ran up to 91 from 89, yeah, maybe we might have some pressure on gold. But I think it would be temporary if the markets continue to unwind. So again, this is a perfect time because I don't think we'll see these numbers any lower than what they are right now. I mean, you can still buy silver eagles under $20. Rounds you can buy around $18 for new ones. And so some great buys on your silver. Gold's the same. And I don't have prices because I'm seeing so many different price changes because the wholesaler the country understand what's coming. So I've seen, you know, multiple adjustments on premiums here in the past, you know, just while I've been watching the markets while we're doing the program. So I'm not going to quote any prices on product, but you know, I always have great prices. So you have to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you go to our website at dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our newsletter, because we do send out little blogs during the week that'll keep you posted with specials and so forth. So it's just not the Monday newsletter anymore. We're beginning to expand a little bit on that. We're going to work a little bit more on the website this next week. So good things are happening at a good time. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. The bull market is now its ninth year. Well, it was.
Yeah.
It was. And the gains in recent years, as well as its today's sputter and Friday's sputter, can be explained to some degree. Certainly not completely. And just as I said, it all comes back to monetary policy. So we're going to talk about how this monetary policy has impacted the market. So, Dave, can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Sure. This is some interesting stuff, I think, listeners. As we know, the S&P doubled in value from late 2008 through October of 2014, which coincided with the Fed's quantitative easing asset purchasing program. To get us out of the so-called Great Recession. After three rounds of QE, as it's known as, where the Fed poured literally billions and billions of dollars into the bond market every month, the Fed balance sheet went from $2.1 trillion to a whopping $4.5 trillion. This isn't just what Brian Barnier, who's a principal at Value Bridge Advisors and founder of FedDashboard.com, says is a spurious correlation. In fact, he says previous bull runs in the market lasting several years can be explained by single factors each time. Melody, he first compiled data on the total value of publicly traded U.S. stocks since 1950. He then divided it by another economic factor and then graphed the ratio for each one. After scouring hundreds of different factors, Barnier ultimately whittled down the cause to just four factors: GDP data 5 years into the future, household and nonprofit liabilities, open market paper, and the Fed's assets. At different stretches of time, just one of those was the single biggest driver of the market and was confirmed with technical regression statistical analysis. Barnier isolated each factor into a separate chart. This is all technical jibber-jabbish, but it's important in understanding that we're talking about some statistically significant explanations here. So after World War II until the mid-1970s, future GDP outlook explained 90% of the stock market's move, according to Barnier. GDP growth lost its way in the market in the early 1970s with the rise of first credit cards and then consumer debt, overlapping consumer debt. Household liabilities grew with plastic first, followed by home mortgages until the real estate crash of the early 90s, where Barnier's analysis shows debt explained 95% of the entire market's move during that time. Now, the period between the mid to late 1990s until 2000, of course, was marked by the tech bubble. And while stocks took a lot of the headlines then, that time also saw heightened activity in the commercial paper market. Startups and young companies sought cash way beyond their stratospheric share values to fund their operations. And Barnier's analysis shows that commercial paper increases could explain as much as 97% of the tech bubble and the resulting crash. Now, moving forward, shortly after the tech bubble burst, the housing bubble began, once more in the form of mortgages and other debts, predatory lending, as we came to know it. That drove 94% of the market's move for the first several years of the current century. And then fast forward to the last decade, Melody, where the financial crisis reached a fevered pitch in 2008, and the Fed took to flooding the financial market with dollars to, by buying up bonds. At the same time, interest rates fell dramatically as bond yields move in the opposite direction of bond prices, something we've talked about a number of times in the past. And listen to this. Barnier sees the Fed as responsible for over 93% of the market from the start of QE until today. Let me say that again. The Fed is responsible for over 93%, virtually all, of the market upward trend from the start of quantitative easing until today. That's a pretty stark fact. I mean, since the Fed stopped buying bonds in late 2014, the S&P has been on this upward trajectory, well, at least until last week, and certainly through today, with QE beginning to end and the Fed planning to unload $50 billion in bonds every month this year, and with federal government looking to borrow, as we said, almost another $1 trillion. Look out, U.S. economy. Look out, worldwide investors. This volatility has already broken loose, and who knows where this mess is going to end. Melody, it's a tough world out there.
You know, it really is. And, you know, they say they stopped buying bonds in 2014, but, you know, they continue to buy them. If they had, if their investments matured, they just kept buying them up. So in reality, they kept buying until the very end. But you know what's interesting? We talked about Yellen earlier, and she's, when she left, she's calling the valuations too high.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it was her last interview, and she's calling them high, and perhaps even leading to believe they're overvalued. And I can remember Greenspan, and I've said this on the program before. Was it Greenspan or Bernanke? I think it was Bernanke. He says it's not what we do with monetary policy; it's what we say has more can't.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, now she comes out at the same time. It's just like everything just came together in order for us to get basically a 1,600 point drop today at the peak. So,
and well, go figure. It seems like for the last couple of years, the market hasn't been tuning in, and it's gone on this just inexplicable rise above the rainbow, and now all of a sudden it's like all eyes and ears have been redirected inward. And as you asked, is it temporary or is this really the beginning of a long-term sell-off that's going to lead to a major run on gold and silver?
Well, I think this brings back reality a little bit in the world. It brings back reality that things just don't always go up. What goes up must come down. And I think it brings into the reality of the markets that we have a problem. It brings in a reality that the government is set to borrow nearly $1 trillion, and we haven't even increased the debt ceiling yet. Congress is voting on something tomorrow. I can't remember what they were voting on. This could be a precursor to that. Government could possibly shut down at the end of the week if the immigration doesn't get done. There's a lot of things, and you know what? When, again, I'm going to go back to that confidence. Worldwide, what do you think global markets look for? What do you think these global investments are looking at the United States? It doesn't look like, it seems like we want to do what's right for the United States. But what we want to do today that's right for the United States should have been done 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. We should have never been taken off. They should have never confiscated our gold. They should have never taken us off the silver, and they should have never taken us off the gold standard. They should have never closed the gold window in the 70s, early 70s. So those are our problems, you know. So how does anybody think that this goes on forever? You really believe we're in a new paradigm that, you know, we have flying little donkeys and stuff? No. Reality strikes, and it's harsh, and people get hurt. That's what makes me angry. They use you. They use people and their money, and they get you all caught up in thinking that you can buy cryptocurrencies one day and be a million the next day. The markets are no different. They're already trying to do damage control on mainstream media. They don't want you making your own decisions on your own money. Why do you think pension plans were created? They get to control your money, you know. And so you all know the story. You've been listening to this program for 23 years. So have you protected yourself? Have you? And we've been telling you for how long, Dave? We've been telling them for how long? Take out your profits. Get it while you can. Protect it with gold and silver. But how many of you have done it? We're going to go ahead and we're going to talk a little about Wells Fargo. And that's one of the other reasons that they're saying, oh, it's because, well, Wells Fargo, they got a new punishment. The Fed handed them a harsh new punishment. Of course, they continue to have scandal after scandal. And I don't know if you wanted to talk about that, Dave, or...
I'm happy to. Whatever your pleasure. We know that... Wells Fargo had its rating cut by three analysts and fell by the most in more than 2 years today after the Fed banned the bank from growing until it convinces authorities it's addressing some specific shortcomings. Now, the cap on its total assets could cost Wells Fargo $400 million in profit in 2018, and it could handicap it long term by giving its largest competitors an advantage in pursuing new business. You know, even as the Trump administration signals a loosening of banking regulations, well, not just banking regulations, but regulations across many industries, but including Wall Street, the Fed's move signals what's being characterized as an unnerving tone for an industry where public scorn seems to shift every few years to another too big to fail U.S. firm.
Do you think Wells Fargo could be Lehman's?
Well, I think Fair it's Stearns? Highly yeah. doubtful. I'm going to say something that I normally wouldn't, but it wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing if it were.
Now, under certain circumstances, aside from the thousands of employees whose jobs and possibly careers could be negatively impacted, but 2008 showed at least the banking industry can have its cake and eat it too. And, you know, who cares where the crumbs fall? Who cares if icing's in your face? In our face, that is the U.S. taxpayer. I don't know that this one action alone will lead to its demise. It's certainly seeming to do that enough on its own since 2008, and is one of the too big to fail banks that apparently has not learned its lesson. Maybe under new leadership, things will turn around. We'll see. I mean, we know that shares of Wells Fargo tumbled over 8% this morning after dropping to a new low of $58.05. I honestly don't know where it ended, but it's something that bears watching, people, particularly as some are saying that its action spells further action to other big banks that could have further negative impact on the U.S. stock market.
And how do you keep a bank from growing? How do you keep any business from growing? You take the banking regulations away and now they can't grow. Oh. Anyway, I hear music, Dave. Thank you. That was very interesting. I appreciate it. I look forward to our conversation on Wednesday. Tomorrow I'll be back with Butch Paulson. So, folks, 1-800-375-4188. Be safe, good night, and God bless.